Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival this summer. In previous seasons, Music at Menlo has presented the chamber music repertoire in a variety of contexts. We've explored the musical traditions of different regions, surveyed the legacies of composers from Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven to Mendelssohn, Dvorak, and Brahms, and examined music's ineffable effects on the listener. This summer, we will focus not on a composer or musical style, but on an instrument whose evolution in the hands of master makers and immortal composers constitutes one of music's richest stories, the violin. A miracle of technology that has not required an upgrade for over 300 years, the violin has been a driving force in the flowering of musical art. After the Cremonese master Antonio Stradivari perfected its design in the early 18th century, the violin acquired newfound power to sing, dazzle, and entrance that enabled composers to realize their musical dreams. From the innovative composer-performers of the Baroque period, through the technical wizards of the Romantic era, to the pioneers of instrumental expression in the 20th century, Music at Menlo's 2017 season celebrates the synergies between immortal composers and great violinists. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music. I'll be joined by artistic co-director Wu Han and Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo to offer historical and cultural context to this summer's concert programs, highlighted by examples of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts.
As violinists from the Baroque period throughout the 19th century nurtured German's violin tradition, generations of French virtuosi likewise cultivated a distinct national style. Concert Program 5, French Luminaries, begins with a sonata in E minor for two violins by Jean-Marie Leclerc, the first great violinist of the French school, who came to be celebrated as the French Corelli. Over a century later, the Belgian violinist, composer, and conductor Eugene Ysaÿe, who combined Joachim's intellect with Paganini's flair, would set listeners aflame with his intrepid approach to the instrument. In addition to composing his own masterpieces, Ysaÿe served as inspiration through his brilliant playing for composers from Franck and Fauré to Claude Debussy.
As the succession of instrumental innovators from Corelli to Viotti established a proud Italian tradition of violin playing, and virtuosos from Louis Spohr and Ferdinand David to Joseph Joachim established a German school, so did a French violin school emerge in the 18th century. The foundational figure of this French school was the violinist and composer Jean-Marie Leclerc. Born in Lyon in 1697, Leclerc was both a competent violinist and dancer by his late adolescence. In 1722, he worked as a ballet master in Turin, where he began taking violin lessons with Corelli's student Giovanni Battista Somis. The following year, Leclerc published his Opus 1, a set of 12 violin sonatas. The originality of his musical imagination and his ingenuity in approaching the violin were immediately evident. One contemporary critic wrote, quote, "Leclerc is the first person who, without imitating anything, created beautiful and new things which he could call his own," end quote. Leclerc's distinct style was on public display in 1728 on a trip to Kassel. He performed at court alongside Locatelli, the Italian master whose L'Arte del Violino stood among the day's most influential volumes of violin music. Leclerc and Locatelli's performance was seen as an exhibition of the French versus the Italian style. The organist and composer Jakob Wilhelm Lustig remarked that Leclerc played like an angel with a beautiful tone and rhythmic freedom, while Locatelli played like a devil with a harsh sound and heavy-handed virtuosity.
Leclerc's music reflects a full absorption of Corelli's language, modified to appeal to French tastes, an aesthetic descendant from the harpsichord music of François Couperin and the court dances of Jean-Baptiste Lully. Leclerc's Opus 3 set of six sonatas for two violins, published 2 years after his performance with Locatelli, illustrate the angelic quality of his art. The fifth sonata of the set, despite its dour key of E minor, is a study in nimble elegance. The opening Allegro ma poco is declamatory yet refined. The sonata's second movement, still in E minor, is a graceful gavotte. The work concludes with a light on its feet presto finale.
Leclerc's influence in France would last throughout the 18th century. In the following era, the French violin tradition would be safeguarded by a new generation of virtuosos, from such figures as Charles-Auguste de Berlioz and Henri Vieuxtemps, to Belgian violinist, composer, and conductor Eugène Ysaÿe.
In 1874, the 16-year-old Eugène Ysaÿe received a scholarship that enabled him to study with Henrik Wieniawski in Brussels, and subsequently with Henri Vieuxtemps in Paris. In addition to exposing him to a bustling concert life, Ysaÿe's studies in Paris afforded him the opportunity to cultivate important artistic contacts, including the composers Camille Saint-Saëns, César Franck, Gabriel Fauré, and Ernest Chausson. His rich pedigree groomed Ysaÿe to inherit the mantle of a French violin lineage that had increased in stature over the previous century. In Ysaÿe's care, this essentially romantic tradition entered into a new era of instrumental virtuosity. The greatest violinist of the generation following Paganini, Ysaÿe in turn had a profound influence on the subsequent class of great virtuosi, including Enescu, Flesch, Zigeti, and Kreisler. Musicologist Michel Stockham writes that Ysaÿe, quote, abandoned the old style of Joachim, Wieniawski, Sarasate, and Auer for one that combined rigorous technique and forceful sound with creative freedom on the part of the interpreter. He also represented a synthesis of the qualities of Franco-Belgian violin playing before virtuosity became an end in itself. End quote. Meanwhile, Ysaÿe developed into an accomplished composer in his own right, as most famously manifested in his six sonatas for solo violin, Opus 27. These sonatas illustrate Ysaÿe's approach to the principle of virtuosity, indeed not an end in itself, but a tool to be deployed in the service of musical expression. His Rêve d'enfant, Opus 14, a bagatelle overshadowed by the solo sonatas, is dedicated à mon petit Antoine, Ysaÿe's youngest son. It is a beguiling lullaby in gently rocking 6/8 time and featuring a simple violin melody played piano dolce. far short of the technical wizardry of the solo sonatas, but revealing in exquisite distillation their underlying lyrical soul.
The program continues with one of the most influential figures in French musical life over the latter half of the 19th century, the composer, organist, and pedagogue César Franck.
With France's defeat in the Franco-Prussian War of 1870 came a marked shift in Europe's balance of power. The Second French Empire under the reign of Napoleon III collapsed. The war brought about a newly unified Germany, which would claim the French territory of Alsace-Lorraine until the end of the First World War. This course of events inspired deep nationalist sentiment throughout France, a spirit that would be reflected as much in the country's musical activity as in other cultural spheres. In 1871, 1 year after France's military defeat, the Société Nationale de Musique was formed. 3 years later, the French conductor and violinist Édouard Colon founded the Concert de l'Association Artistique. For several decades leading to this point, lyric opera had dominated France's musical life. Now these fledgling organizations spurred a flurry of instrumental composition, laying the foundation for a strong tradition of French chamber music towards the turn of the 20th century. This charge was led by some of France's most prominent composers, including Saint-Saëns, Chausson, and César Franck. Franck composed his violin sonata in A major in 1886 as a wedding present to Isai. The sonata embodies Franck's language in both form and substance. In addition to its dramatic heft, the work demonstrates cyclic form, the use of thematic material to unify multiple movements, a technique characteristic of Franck's music. The sonata, moreover, testifies to Isai's art, demanding instrumental dexterity and a robust tone while eschewing virtuosity merely for showmanship's sake. Over a bewitching piano introduction, the violin presents the lilting theme in 9/8 time. Following a fortissimo climax comes a luxurious passage for piano alone. A briefly tempestuous duet with the violin quickly subsides to a reprise of the opening. The Allegro second movement is fiery and intense. roiling 16th notes in the piano, swirl about the violin's Take No Prisoners melody. Partway through the movement, the music's ferocity abates. The violin croons a gently arching musical idea. A dramatic segue leads back to the inclement A section, now seemingly more volatile than before. The sonata's centerpiece, the Recitativo Fantasia, begins with a recollection of the first movement's molto dolce theme. The violin responds with a declamatory utterance. The movement proceeds in pseudo-improvisatory fashion, traversing a wide variety of moods and colors. A serene middle section sets a simple, affecting melody in the violin above hypnotic triplets in the piano. Franck follows the preceding movement's romantic fervor with a freely flowing finale. Its opening melody, marked dolce cantabile and redolent perhaps of Schubert, appears in canon. The melody from the Recitativo Fantasia's tranquil middle section reappears in the piano, colored by the violin with delicate filigree. Another melodic fragment from the preceding movement likewise returns. before the sonata builds to its triumphant climax.
Claude Debussy is universally regarded as one of the most consequential musical voices of the 20th century. To the ears of many music lovers, his landmark work of 1894, Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun, represents the beginning of a new era in music. The composer and conductor Pierre Boulez wrote that, with this work, quote, "the art of music began to beat with a new pulse," end quote. In 1971, the 88-year-old Igor Stravinsky surmised, quote, "Debussy is in all senses the century's first musician," end quote. Debussy's unique approach to harmony, rhythm, and orchestration was driven as much by a conscious resistance to the prevailing German musical language of Richard Wagner as it was by the instinctive desire to express himself in an original way. This approach yielded a distinctly French musical voice, as distinguishable by its color and inflection from the German idiom as the actual spoken languages are different. The musical language cultivated by Debussy became known as Impressionism, a term borrowed from the visual arts and specifically the work of Claude Monet. As applied to the music of Debussy, the term describes a rich palette of harmonic colors and instrumental timbres, often treated in ways contrary to the dictates of classical tradition. The composer once said, quote, "Generally speaking, I feel more and more that music, by its very essence, is not something that can flow inside a rigorous traditional form. It consists of colors and of rhythmicized time," end quote.
Debussy's Petite Suite, completed in 1889, is one of five four-hand piano works from Debussy's pen. Though scored for just one instrument, the suite benefits from the extended reach of two players and displays a broad spectrum of instrumental colors. The Petite Suite was likely composed at the request of Debussy's publisher, Jacques Durand, himself a competent pianist, who gave the work its first performance alongside the composer at a Paris salon. Typical for the genre, the suite was probably conceived with skilled amateur pianists in mind. Its character is light, and its demands on the performer are modest relative to Debussy's more audacious works. The suite comprises four movements. The first, En bateau, or On a Boat, lilts to and fro with an endearing life is but a dream quality. Despite the music's seeming innocence, Debussy's forward-looking harmonic sensibility is on display as well, as when whole-tone scalar figures leave the ear momentarily at sea. The brisk cortege follows. The third movement is an enchanting minuet marked by the faintest air of mischief. The suite closes with an animated ballet finale.
The program concludes with the preeminent figure of French Romanticism, Gabriel Fauré.
The pianist Marguerite Long, a friend and regular collaborator of Gabriel Fauré, writes that, quote, in the years 1877 to 1879, Fauré still had not escaped from the Wagnerian influences he had come under on his visits to Bayreuth with Saint-Saëns. But however overwhelmed he may have been, his music still retained its individuality. His inspiration, devoid of grandiose gestures, showed itself through charm, modesty, restraint, and freshness of expression. End quote. Fauré's creative instincts led him to pursue intimate forms of music making. His chamber music, piano miniatures, choral pieces, and songs dwarf his orchestral output. The piano quartet in C minor, opus 15, one of his earliest chamber works, may stand as Exhibit A of Fauré's singular gifts. Fauré completed the quartet in 1879 in the wake of his broken engagement to Marianne Viardot. The Viardots were a prominent family in French cultural circles. Pauline Viardot, Marianne's mother, was a noted composer. With her daughter's financial security likely in mind, Madame Viardot had a notion towards her future son-in-law's vocation, that he should satisfy French audiences' demand for opera. Fauré harbored no such inclination. Perhaps the break was not a bad thing for me, he concluded. The Viardot family might have deflected me from my proper path. The quartet begins with a vigorous theme, stated in unison by the strings and underscored by syncopated chords in the piano. The viola introduces the second theme, taken up subsequently by each of the other voices. In the development section, Fauré juxtaposes these two themes in an amorous duet. The second movement, Scherzo, begins on a delicate note. Pizzicato chords in the strings provide a hushed accompaniment to the piano's playful melody. When the strings take over the tune, the meter changes from 6-8 to 2-4. The piano quickly resumes control, and the meter shifts back into 6-8. This metric interplay animates the entire movement. The trio section retains the scherzo's rhythmic vitality. The heartbreak of Faure's broken engagement is most evident in the deeply felt adagio. Above stoic chords in the piano, a somber melody emerges, played first by the cello and subsequently joined in turn by viola and violin. The movement's contrasting B section offers a sunnier melody, as if casting a nostalgic gaze upon happier times. The finale counters the morose adagio with quiet but focused agitation. Audio Notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Jean-Marie Leclerc Sonata in E minor for two violins, Opus 3, No. 5, performed by Sean Lee and Danby Eugène Isai's Rêve d'Enfant, performed by Yura Lee and Anne-Marie McDermott, and Sonata in E minor, Opus 27, number 4, performed by Benjamin Beilman, Debussy's Petite Suite, performed by Alessio Bax and Wuhan, Borodin's String Quartet No. 2, performed by Danby Sean Lee, Paul Neubauer, and David Finkel, and Fritz Kreisler's String Quartet, performed by Benjamin Beilman, Danby Paul Neubauer, and David Finkel, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. César Franck's Violin Sonata in A Major, performed by Augustine Dumay and Maria Joao Piresh, and Ottorino Respighi's Violin Sonata in B Minor, performed by Kyung-ha Chung and Christian Zimmermann, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Faure's Piano Quartet No. 1 in C Minor, Opus 15, performed by Jeffrey Kahane, Ian Swenson, Geraldine Walter, and Colin Carr, appears courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.